Well, welcome to Living Beyond Limits. If you do not know, I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for this service. And if you are new to us today, from our heart to yours, we welcome you and are really glad that you've joined us today. And so we're going to begin our service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. So if you would join me in that. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are actually creating this sanctuary for each of us that is a safe place to explore and to discover, to explore our spirituality and to discover our own spiritual nature. Because this is this environment where it is safe, where we are loving, and judgment doesn't happen and gossip doesn't happen, but what happens instead is support and care and encouragement. And as we do that, we get it safe enough to explore and to discover the presence of spirit that is within us, that is our own essential nature, that presence of the infinite one that expresses itself in and through and around everything, that expresses as our spirit, as our own soul, as our own divine nature, and that expresses as our life, for we really live in that life of God, which is the only life that there is. But what happens as we come to discover the presence of the divine that lives within us, and we discover that that is a presence of love, and it's a presence of peace, it's the truth of wholeness and of authentic power, that then when we go out into the world and the world is not reflecting back to us peace or love, we can tap into that within us and bring it forward. And as we do that, we change those relationships. The conversations shift because we are coming to the world differently. And because we come from a different place, people respond differently also. And so as we do that, we are actually participating in our own spiritual evolution. And because we are connected to everyone and everything, we are participating in that collective evolution of humanity. And so I say thank you to every single one of you for heeding the call of your own heart and soul to be walking this path, to be discovering your own divine nature, and to be being a beneficial presence in this world. Thank you for that. And so on platform with me today is David Conant. He's going to lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit. And as you know, every week we have a different musician. And because of COVID and all the things that have happened, today you are the musicians. So Joy is going to come up and she's going to lead us in the prayer chant We Are that will take us into that evocation. And then David will do a contemplative reading for us. So I invite you to just kind of settle into yourself and to allow yourself to slow down a little bit and to sing the song with the words on the wall if that fits for you, or to just listen and to take it in, but to let yourself just kind of move within.
I open my mind and heart to the one source. And as I do, I experience the presence of spirit in my life. This is a time when we merge our human experience with our oneness with spirit. As we do this, we realize that even though our daily experience may not always be what we had planned, we always know We are living in and with the presence of Spirit. Nothing that occurs in our lives can disconnect us from our oneness with the presence and power of Spirit. The divine pattern of Spirit is always present in our lives. It is also present here today as Living Beyond Limits. I bless Reverend Jennifer for creating the sacred space that is this service. I bless Ray for his service to all of us. I bless all spiritual paths. I bless everyone here. And I bless this room. And so it is. Good morning. My reading today is titled, A Prayer of Gratitude. With a heart overflowing, I bring a prayer of gratitude for the trees, the skin of the trees, the leaves of the trees, the roots of the trees, the earth under the trees. I speak a prayer of gratitude for the birds of the air, the seeds and insects on which they dine, and the water from which they quench their thirst. I whisper a prayer of gratitude for the elephant, for the wolf, the whale, and the lion, and for their cousins, our beloved dogs and cats. My prayer of gratitude is for the food that nourishes us and those who grow it, pick it, pack it, and truck it. I pray for the families of those who endeavor to feed our own families by doing this work for us. My prayer of gratitude is that this very food will manifest in the bellies of those who most need it, the elderly, the homeless, the poverty-stricken, the refugees, the sick and injured, and all those under the umbrella of war. I lift up a prayer of gratitude for those who have no voice. My shout to heaven is for peace, peace inside of me radiating out across the globe with each and every breath I take. For all this, and for all that went unmentioned, I give thanks. I give thanks for the movement of Spirit in and through all things. With the deepest bow and with utmost gratitude, amen. And so it is.
Welcome to new solo acts. And so happy Father's Day, everyone, and happy Juneteenth. Today is both. And so if you are a father, would you please stand and let us acknowledge you, or if you've ever played the role of father for anyone. Today on Father's Day, we also recognize our own fathers, or those who played the role of father in our life, recognizing how they helped shape us and helped us become who we are today and how we are in the world. And so there are many things, really, that a father represents. Actually, I'm going to share a story with you first that says, when I was 8 years old, I caught myself on fire one morning getting ready for school. We had an open flame gas heater in the bathroom that I stood too close to. You know what they say when this happens. Stop, drop, roll. Well, I used a different strategy. the scream and run like hell. Dad tackled me in the kitchen, threw himself on me, smothered the flames with his body and his hands. As he was on top of me, I remember looking into my dad's face, and I knew I was going to be okay. I knew that he was saving me. Ever since that day, when I would look into his face, into the eyes of my dad, I knew it was going to be okay. And so, yes, fathers represent many things. Fathers teach us to be bold and to be strong. Fathers teach us to take charge of a situation, like when your child is on fire. They teach us to be strong. Fathers teach us to stand in our own inner authority. And they teach us to initiate when something needs to be done. And not just to initiate it, but they teach us the fortitude of staying with something, even when we'd rather give up, but to continue on and keep on keeping on. And so today is also Juneteenth. And so Juneteenth is also called Emancipation Day or Freedom Day. It is our newest national holiday, and it is a day celebrating the independence and the freedom and the self-determination and the achievement of African Americans in our country. It commemorates the end of slavery in the United States and the freeing of the very last slaves. And so there was an article written that I read this week by C.E. Harrison, who is a black man and Jewish. It was from reformjudaism.org. He says, until very recently, the only widely celebrated holiday commemorating black rights in the United States was Martin Luther King Day. However, on June 15th, 2021, the holiday of Juneteenth, which commemorates the legal freedom of enslaved black Americans annually on June 19th, was established as a federal holiday. By doing so, the U.S. took a step forward in reckoning with its history of systemic racism and will hopefully inspire further work toward the equity of all black Americans. Although the Emancipation Proclamation declared slaves legally free on January 1st, 1863, the law wasn't enforced in the Confederate state of Texas until more than 2 years later, on June 19, 1865. That day, 2 months after Robert E. Lee's surrender, Union Major General Gordon Granger and his troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, to read the proclamation aloud and firmly enforce the law. This day would later be coined Juneteenth. Juneteenth is a reminder not to be complacent. While this holiday is a joyous one that affirms the Jewish notion that we are all created in the image of God and deserve to be free from bondage, it is equally important to remember the fight for true equity is ongoing. And so when we look at the symbolism of these two holidays, and how they relate to us as individuals today, they remind us to stand in our authentic power. They remind us to take responsibility for the content of our lives, and that if we don't like the circumstances in our life, we can be the cause for change, that we can initiate what it is that we do want rather than what we don't want, that we can choose and we can go for it. These two holidays teach us about tenacity and not giving up, but to keep on keeping on. And so those two holidays actually invite us to be the authority in our own lives, to be the initiator and the provider of our own life experience, to take charge of our lives and to take charge of our experience. Because I know none of us want to feel like we are victims or victims to life. Instead, we want to live with a sense of freedom, freedom from dis-ease of every type and every sort. We want to live with freedom from financial strain. We want to live free from difficulties in our relationships or conflict with our neighbors, free from misunderstandings, and free from illness or dis-ease in our bodies. We want the ability to create the life that we want to live, the life that makes our heart happy and makes our heart sing, a life that is filled with the good that our hearts desire. But the problem is sometimes we think that life happens to us, that we are somehow victims to what is going on in our lives, and that we do not have the power to change things. For example, maybe you don't get along with your neighbor, and so what you tell yourself is that it's all about them, entirely about them, and their personality, and the fact that they're as weird as they are. Anyone do that? We tell ourselves when we're having financial issues that it is a result of the stock market, or the job market, or the economy, or the interest rates. We tell ourselves if we're having difficulty with our spouse that it's their personality, it's their mood, it's their temperament, or it's their way of being in the world. And we tell ourselves that the dis-ease that we experience in our bodies has nothing to do with our consciousness, with our beliefs and our attitudes. We think the world out there is out there, and that we are in here over here, and the two are not the same thing. They're not connected to each other. We forget that we are actually connected to the whole of things, that everything is connected to everything else, and that we hold a particular vibration, as well as everything in the world has a particular vibration of its own. That somehow that means then what is happening in our own lives somehow matches a vibration that we are carrying. Otherwise, it couldn't be in our lives. Because like attracts like. So it's kind of like if you have a square peg and a round hole, the square peg can't fit into the round hole. But if you have a square hole and a square peg, it fits perfectly. So that means then if you have a square peg in your life somewhere, like a difficult neighbor, you must have a square hole in your consciousness somewhere, or that square peg could not fit into that square hole. You carry that square hole somewhere in your beliefs or in your attitudes. If you didn't have that square hole, it couldn't fit. It wouldn't be in your life. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, in his book, This Thing Called You, said, "Remember that thought patterns are acquired. Therefore, the mind that accepted them can reject them." And so we adopt these thought patterns in our childhood and through going through the experiences that we go through in life. And then out of those experiences, we draw conclusions about what it means or how life is or how things are. And out of those conclusions, we develop belief systems, patterns of thought. Then what happens is life comes to match those thoughts and that vibration in our own lives. Our beat matches our beliefs. They match our vibration. The things in our life match the shape of the holes that we have in our consciousness. And so the title of my talk today is Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, which is a catchphrase that they use at Centers for Spiritual Living. And what I'm talking about is changing our beliefs through embodying spiritual truth and how that enables us to move from what we don't want in our lives to moving into the life that we do want. And so Ernest Holmes also said, "It is neither the power, the presence, nor the law that you lack, if you do lack anything. It is a consciousness and an inner spiritual awareness." And so one of the ways that we increase our spiritual awareness, that we expand our spiritual awareness, is through the use of affirmations. And as we repeat an affirmation over and over again, what happens is it shifts the way that we are thinking about things. And it opens us to possibilities that we did not even recognize or think were possible before. It changes our expectations of what will happen in life, and it changes our vibration. That sifts down into our subconscious mind then and becomes belief. Over time, as we continue to tell ourselves that affirmation, it sifts down and becomes a belief. So it changes the shape of the holes that we have. And so on your insert today, on the front side of it, there are a series of affirmations that actually came out of the book, This Thing Called You. I'm going to ask you to say those with me. We're going to actually say each one twice. So, I know that Spirit is now operating in my affairs. And take it in this time. I know that Spirit is now operating in my affairs. I am filled with confidence, with the expectation of good, and with the knowledge that Spirit is always triumphant. And taking it in, I am filled with confidence, with the expectation of good, with the knowledge that Spirit is always triumphant. I refuse to worry about anything. I have complete confidence that God, who is always with me, is able and willing to direct everything I do, to control my affairs, to lead me into pathway of peace and happiness. Again, I refuse to worry about anything. I have complete confidence that God, who is always with me, is able to, willing to direct everything I do, to control my affairs, to lead me into the pathway of peace and happiness. I have complete reliance on the law of good. I have complete reliance on the law of good. I believe in myself because I believe in God. I believe in myself because I believe in God. So I invite you to use those affirmations. And so we don't say affirmations to make them true. We say affirmations to align our thinking with that which is already true. We use affirmations to change or move our vibration and our thinking and our feeling so that it is alignment with spiritual truth, the truth with a capital T. All of those things we just read are truth. With a capital T. Ernest Holmes said, "Your creative power is not an act of will. It is rather an act of your willingness to believe." Affirmations help us believe. As we continue to tell ourselves a truth, it starts to override that doubt that we have, that story that we've been telling ourselves. Because you cannot entertain two opposing thoughts at the same time. So as we continue to affirm the truth, that story that we've been making up, and we tell ourselves this is just a story, not the truth, begins to dissipate, and this new thought begins to be the dominant thought in our lives. So we use affirmations to open our consciousness. To open it so that it is the same shape as that infinite love intelligence of the universe. So that that whole is the same shape as that one creative intelligence, that presence of love, that which is boundless, that one that wants nothing other than to pour itself out as peace and as wholeness and as love and joy, as unity and connection, as the all good that wants to unfold in our lives. It wants to pour out as beauty and as balance, as that boundless good. Ernest Holmes said, "You have access to the same power that Jesus used. The God who is ever with you is the same spirit with whom he communed. There are not two spirits or two powers. There are not two divine presences or two universal laws of mind. There are not two laws of gravitation or two principles of mathematics. Nothing has happened to capital R reality since Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and ministered to the multitudes who so eagerly followed him. The kingdom of heaven, which Jesus was always talking about, is also your kingdom. The spirit which was within him is in everyone, equally available, giving itself to all alike at every age." That same power, that same presence, the same willingness and beingness of that divine presence is always right where you are. You walk in it, you walk with it, and you walk as it, because it fills you. And so it's really not a matter of manipulating or changing anything in this world of form. It is only a matter of recognizing it, recognizing that truth, and embodying that truth. We affirm and use affirmations to help us remember the truth, to help us remember who we are, to help us remember the truth about life and the truth about our own individual lives. And so, if something keeps showing up in your life that you don't like, it behooves you to discover the beliefs that you hold that are creating that opening for that particular thing to take up residence in your life. To discover, what is the belief? What is the attitude that I'm holding that is enabling this thing to stay in my life, that is giving it space to continue to show up? Am I believing that illness is inevitable? Am I believing that people are difficult? Am I believing that I don't have the answer? What is the belief? What is the childhood experience that you're repeating because you learned to believe something your parents did? There isn't enough to go around? Or that I have to work really hard in order to achieve? Or that I'm somehow not enough? What is that belief? To discover what that belief is, and then to use affirmations to turn that around, to change that, to tell yourself something bigger, a bigger truth than that experience you've had. So dismantle that old, inaccurate belief with spiritual truth. Create an affirmation that actually takes you where you want to go, rather than where you are if you're not liking where you are. And if you don't know how to create an affirmation, or you're having a hard time creating an affirmation, talk to a practitioner. If you're in this room and you're a practitioner, will you raise your hand? Or talk to me. We are all happy to help you design or tweak an affirmation so that it really takes you where you want to go, and to continue to work with that. And when you find yourself telling yourself how terrible things are, remember Father's Day and remember Juneteenth. Step into your own inner authority. Step into your own self-determinism. Step into your own power and initiate what it is that you want in your life, because you already have the power to do so. And so blessings to each and every one of you on this path that you are walking, this path of self-discovery, and this path of creating your best life yet, for you are supported by all of life in doing that. So blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention from this world of form, from the things that are happening in our lives right now, and instead we turn our attention to that infinite one, that infinite presence from which all things have been created. For it is that one that has poured itself out and become this manifest world. And in my recognition of that, I recognize that everything is imbued with spirit. Everything is imbued with this creative intelligence, for it is the animating force of everything. It is the life principle of everything. It is the energy and the intelligence and the creativity within everything. And so today I recognize that we are living this life of God, that we are walking in this presence and with this presence and as this presence. That those things that call to our hearts of what we want to experience, what we want to be, what we want to do, are none other than the call of our own spirit to discover more, to be our own greatness, to unfold that greatness through us. For it has been said already that we have been poured out a blessing greater than we could possibly contain. And so today we turn to that one, open to that boundless good, open to inner guidance and inner direction, knowing that we are led and that we are guided in pathways of peace and opulence and beauty and joy. For this is our destiny, this is our heaven, and it is right here and right now. And so we turn from that which we do not want, and we turn our attention to that presence that contains all good already within itself, recognizing that that has already been bestowed upon us. And so today we keep our faith and our attention on that, open and willing and saying yes. And I know that everything that does not match this vibration simply begins to fade and to dissipate into the background, for there is no law to support it. It is simply a misperception or an incomplete perception. And as such, truth takes its place. And so I speak this word also about this world, about every single world leader and every politician and every decision maker, knowing that the wisdom of the divine is right where they are, that it is revealing itself to their minds and to their hearts. It is revealing to them the truth of the oneness of this family of humanity and revealing itself as love. It is that love and that guidance, that wisdom, that unity that guides their choices and their decisions today. For I know that something healing is taking place right now. And so it is with a grateful heart and with absolute trust in that infinite one that I release this into the creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself everywhere we look. And so in faith, I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is. Are we going to sing another song, Joy? I don't remember. No, we're not going to. So I'm going to invite David up to lead you in another affirmation.
This one is on the white sheet on the other side of the page, where we read the other ones. If you would join me as we read this together. I step into my inner authority and affirm my good. I align my thinking and my feeling with spiritual truth. Today, I live a life of freedom and choice. And so it is.
A couple of invitations for you. One is, if you have not already joined our meetup group, I invite you to do that online. It lets people know that we are here. And I'm inviting people also, starting last week, to go on during the week and to say that you are going. I think that's what the button says, to just click I'm going. Because we have a couple of new people today, wonderful. And I invited you last week to go on, because otherwise it looks like I'm the only one that's showing up. And people don't want to show up when there's only one person showing up. So go on during the week and just click that. Also, if you are not already following us on Facebook, Living Beyond Limits, Center for Spiritual Living, I invite you to follow us on Facebook. And then our talk gets posted on Monday night, I think, the talk from Sunday. And to share that, just click share with your friends. That is the way that you get the word out and spread the word so that we have new people coming. So I invite you to do both of those things. We have a sign-up sheet in the back for if you'd like to be on a team that helps set up or break down or bring coffee to do in-reach and outreach. We actually have a whole list of things that people have suggested to do for in-reach, which is the things that we do together just to be in community with each other. And some of those are concerts in the park that are coming up and some summer activities the cities are putting on. So we're going to schedule a couple of those really soon. So you'll be seeing them in your email if you're on our email list. If you're not on our email list and would like that, talk to Ray Bunch, the cameraman back there, and he'll get you on our email list. Sunday talks are on our website as well as on Facebook, and our practitioners are available for prayer support after church. If you have a prayer request, you are welcome to sit down with one of them and have them pray for you. We also have prayer shawls in the back that have been created in that energy of prayer. The practitioners are happy to pray over that with you for a specific purpose. If you would like to gift one to somebody who is going through a challenging time or even doing some new venture, or if you are welcome to take one of those home with you. They're on the back table. And there's coffee back there, so stay and join the conversation.